Back together, you and I again, for a Thursday, February 3rd, 2022 edition of Connecticut Today. I had a few thoughts to start off the show on the latest push to prohibit the sale of flavored nicotine vaping cartridges in Connecticut. Fiona Farin from the nonprofit For Cameron joined us to talk about the group's continuing efforts to battle fentanyl abuse. And Republican State Rep. Devin Carney talked about a controversial Fairfield political fundraiser tied to a proposal for direct sales of electric vehicles in Connecticut. Let's talk about the duplicity of the state of Connecticut. Let's talk about the duplicity of lawmakers. Let's talk about how, we do things in this state to look real good. And then once we look good, we do kind of the opposite when there's money involved. When there's the, as the old blues singers used to say, them dead presidents, Lightning Hopkins, I think that was one of his songs. When the green Jeebus is around, when there's money to be made, our morals, they tend to be a little different. I can't find that gear, third, fourth gear on the moral transmission. Got to grind him a little here. What am I talking about? Well, an article pops up in the Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com. Article posted early today by Katie Cerule, or Cerule. Not sure how she pronounces her name, so my head-on apology if I'm butchering that name, Katie. Banning the sale of flavored vapes gains support. Now, remember we went through this again or over and over. We went through this, 2 years ago? And it got some support, but the governor wasn't really staunchly behind it. Then there was some blowback from store owners saying, hey, but we still sell cigarettes. Like the flavored vape thing. And again, the initial push on this was because of the children. Well, says here, a group of state lawmakers and health advocates pressed Governor Ned Lamont Wednesday to include language banning the sale of flavored vaping products. These are the flavored vapes. And I don't vape. I don't know what they taste like. But they're going after the flavored vapes again now, as opposed to what? What is it, straight nicotine you could vape? I guess. I have friends that have vaped in the past. I've told you this numerous times. Some people vape to quit smoking. And then they stop vaping too. Some people vape to drop cigarettes, but they still like that, they still like that little nicotine shot during the day. It's okay. It's legal. Whatever. They're pressing Governor Ned Lamont yesterday, to include language banning the sale of flavored vaping products. Lamont has proposed the ban in the past and has signaled in recent weeks he still supports the effort, which proponents believe will protect the health of minors. So now we want to protect the health of minors, which sounds great, right? We don't, our little ones, our youngins, little boys, little girls, teens, those whose brains are just coming into full top gear here. We want them to be pure and driven as the white snow. So we want to keep these flavored vapes away, right? From, because I guess these are popular with kids, I guess. My son is way too, he's an adult now, so if he wants to vape, go right ahead. The U.S. Surgeon General's office says youth use of nicotine in any form, including e-cigarettes, is unsafe. Okay. E-cigarettes deliver massive doses of nicotine. Okay. For example, each Juul pod, that Juul is the big brand everybody uses. Each Juul pod delivers as much nicotine as a pack of 20 cigarettes, according to proponents. Well, okay then. No wonder people vape, right? I don't know what the Juul pods cost, whatever. Efforts to ban flavored vape products began in February of 2020. Again, that was right before COVID kicked in, and time out on that. But were halted due to government shutdowns because of the pandemic. Lawmakers, including Democrat Senator Julie Kushner of Danbury, renewed their push Wednesday and claimed the flavored products are specifically targeted towards youth. Okay. Kevin O'Flaherty, director of advocacy in the Northeast region for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, agreed the flavored products were marketed specifically at kids. Okay. Flavors hook kids. Okay, I'll get that. I understand that. All right. Here's my question. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. So we want to protect kids. We want the kids not to vape. And I agree with that. And I guess what? It's 21 and under shouldn't get this stuff. Okay. But at the same time in the state, we're going full speed ahead with marijuana. Now, we have heard people say, well, you know, we're worried that the youths are going to be subjected tragically to early use of marijuana, and we've heard about all that. Yet there were very few health officials allowed to speak at the state hearings right before the push of the marijuana bill. So here's my question. Is this being duplicitous? See, this gets into a whole lot more. This gets into a whole lot more of, if a kid is vaping, who's really responsible for that? And again, we're worried about nicotine, which is fine. We're worried about tobacco, which is fine. I get that. I understand that. But anytime a health official, an anti-marijuana official, cited, in some cases, the health of children in opposing the marijuana legislation, you know what we heard? Shh, don't say anything. Because we need the money. See, the state's being duplicitous here. And I understand there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with looking out for the health of children and of young adults. This, that, and the other. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But how come that wasn't a big factor when it came to the marijuana legislation? Because you know there's going to be improper age-related abuse of marijuana with kids. I mean, they're getting the vapes. Now, you don't think kids are going to get weed? Right? We talk about it on this show all the time. But, you weren't allowed to mention it largely in the run-up to the marijuana legislation. So, are we duplicitous here? Do you see what I'm driving at here? What do you think? There was a horrible story a couple of weeks ago that young student at a school in Hartford that came into contact with fentanyl and died a few days later. And the subsequent investigation found that child, that young person, had come from a home with numerous packs of fentanyl there. Although it is used in hospitals on the street, it is a horrific drug that is trafficked over the borders into our cities and can often have tragic consequences. We welcome back a friend of the program who's been on here several times before. Fiona Farin joins us. She and her husband, Joe, who's a old high school buddy of mine, Fiona and Joe lost a son to fentanyl years back, and now they have channeled their efforts into a group, a Facebook page, a web page for Cameron, and a group of activists who want to see things tightened up as far as laws and regulations aimed at folks who deal in this stuff and how to better battle the abuse of it and take it away from the most vulnerable in our society. Fiona, it's Paul again. Good afternoon. How are you? Good to hear from you. How you been?
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you so much for inviting me back on today to talk about this horrific problem that we are facing.
So since we spoke last time, Fiona, which I think was last year sometime amidst the COVID thing, you know, you and your husband and other families have worked to move the General Assembly on this. You did get, you know, you did get some stuff done several months back, and I've applauded you on that. Your efforts continue. But boy, Fiona, I can imagine what you and Joe and the other people thought in your group when you read about that kid in the Hartford schools. It was just awful.
Heartbreak. We felt heartbreak because a 13-year-old, he didn't have a prayer. right? He didn't have a prayer. And the fact that this is so accessible, that this could happen this easily, that a 13-year-old could get his hands on that amount of it and bring it to one of our schools, that's alarming to think about the risk that this presents to our youth, to citizens in the state.
In your work that you've been doing with Fort Cameron, Fiona, have you been able to get through to as many people as you and Joe and all the folks in your group, you know, have wanted to, you know, that you wanted to? Are the ears and the eyes and the hearts of people open to hear your pleas and your suggestions and your activism in this realm?
No. I think that this tragedy in Hartford made it a teachable moment, however. I think that this has been such a scary issue that a lot of people tend to think, this isn't going to affect me. This isn't going to affect my loved ones. You know, there's almost this misconception, Paul. I think a lot of people view it as, if you think about like 80s and 90s footage of the down on their luck heroin addicts.
Yeah.
I think that's what people envision, and they think, so this isn't going to affect me or anybody because we're not in that position. And the thing is, everyone's at risk right now. I mean, from a parent perspective, you know that youth experimenting has been something that's sort of been part of the curve, right, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's no safe experimenting anymore.
See, I would think also, Fiona, that you may hear this from maybe some parents and folks who want to stick their heads in the sand. But, you know, I'm reading, and I would guess that a lot of law enforcement officials may differ with those parents on this, Fiona. I mean, they deal with this on a daily basis.
That is exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that we really are going to try to drive this year, Paul, and you know, this is where our work started, but it has to continue. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at fentanyl differently than other illicit narcotics, and we need to separate our reaction to it and the penalties for it, because in the vast majority of cases, those victims have not asked for fentanyl, and they haven't expected to get fentanyl, yet fentanyl has driven 85% of the fatal overdoses in Connecticut in the past year. So it becomes a poisoning to me, because if you have unsuspected victims who think, you know, I don't know if they think they're getting, there's a lot of it showing up in cocaine now is what law enforcement is showing us. You know, so it means that we have to look at this. I think we have to separate it out in both the penalties, because law enforcement are telling us that the penalties for fentanyl are the same in which they would have charged marijuana. And that is ludicrous.
It is. It is. Fiona, hang on. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Fiona Farina is the guest from the organization, the nonprofit Fort Cameron. Fiona and her husband, Joe, lost a son to fentanyl, and now they are being relentless, and good for them, you know, trying to appeal mainly to state lawmakers to say, hey, this needs to be taken more seriously. More with Fiona coming up first. Traffic and weather together right here. It's a Thursday on WICC. And 600 AM, 107.3 FM, and online at WICC600.com. We thank you for listening. A few more minutes with Fiona Farine. Her son, Cameron, unfortunately, was felled by the insidious drug of fentanyl, which, you know, people may say, well, what's it exist for? Well, it is used in some hospitals as a medication. It is used with some people transdermally for a medication for pain control, but not the way it is on the streets. And Fiona, back to something you just said, I agree with you. I mean, it's insidious enough to sell drugs. You and I both know that. But if you have somebody on the street who is ostensibly selling somebody marijuana or cocaine, and that person doesn't know it, and if that person knew, Fiona, hey, the stuff I'm giving you, I put some fentanyl in it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people buying would say, what are you, crazy? I don't want that. I don't want that. Why are you doing this? And that's mind-boggling to me. It really is.
And do you know what really adds to this, Paul, is, so there's pharmaceutically manufactured fentanyl.
Yeah.
But the one that is really killing civilians out there is illicitly manufactured fentanyl, right? So it's illicitly manufactured to mimic pharmaceutical grade, but obviously it's far more deadly. So we refer to it as a poison. We refer to these deaths as poisonings because, again, the fact that many victims do not realize it's in there. I mean, you have very young people dying because somebody gave them a Valium or they asked for a study drug and that ended up being a study drug that was pure unadulterated fentanyl that was stamped. So you know it's a poisoning because they actually go to the trouble to stamp these illicit pills with a pharmaceutical grade stamp on it. So clearly the victim doesn't know they're getting it because if the victim was asking for it, there would be no need to go to the trouble to stamp that illicit pill as a Valium or as a Percocet or as a Klonopin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and study drug. I mean, listen, we all heard of what goes on campuses, you know, around exam time with Adderall and things like that. Oh, my God, it's just horrible. Now, Fiona, we know, I think, tonight and also coming up in a few days, you've got a couple of things happening that people may be interested in latching on to, logging on to, regarding fentanyl, regarding prevention, regarding reaction to overdosing. So what do you have for us?
Correct. So we have done a lot of work with the New Haven Health Department and the Quinnipiac Philly Health District, who are working really hard on this. So we are doing two virtual overdose prevention and response trainings, one this evening at 6 and one Saturday morning at 11. They are free. They're on our Facebook page for Cameron. They're on our Instagram page. It did ask for registration, but actually anybody can, you know, hit the link and quickly register last minute. And what we really want to do is educate parents and educators specifically, but actually anybody, Paul, because this is affecting all age groups. Mm-hmm. And we want to teach them what an overdose looks like and also that somebody dying from overdose is actually a preventable form of life if people have Narcan and know how to use Narcan.
Yeah, what about the push, Fiona? I'm glad you brought that up, to basically make sure that there is Narcan far more widely available than just maybe waiting for it to come with an EMT crew.
That you need to respond immediately. So it's very important to make sure that people now use Narcan as you would a tool in your first aid kit. You don't know, even if you think your child is not at risk for taking a pill, how about if one of their friends is over at your home and all of a sudden they exhibit signs of overdose or you're somewhere? So Narcan needs to be in all public locations, and people also need to start thinking about having a Narcan kit in their home.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, so you folks at 4Cameron, I guess you're starting a push here, and hopefully you'll have some sympathetic ears for, say, high schools, middle schools, simply to have a dose or two on the property. I would think, Fiona, much the way that a lot of buildings now have defibrillators. Many buildings have the auto defibrillators there on site to prevent heart attacks.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm so glad you mentioned that because that is the way I like to think about it, too, as having that kit on there. And just as we look at CPR and all of that equipment, overdose is a matter of life and death. Anyone can overdose. Anybody can overdose now. But any one of us can save a life by simply having this tool and knowing how to use it.
All right, folks, go to the Facebook page for Cameron, for C-A-M-E-R-O-N, for Cameron. The webinars are tonight at 6 or Saturday at 11. Learn what's going on and see if you can help the organization. And as Fiona said, you know, maybe suggest to your boss or your principal in school or somebody on your local school committee, say, hey, let's look into maybe working with the fire department or a local hospital, how we can have Narcan on site to prevent overdoses from the scourge of fentanyl. Once again, the Facebook page is for Cameron. Fiona, thank you once again. All power to you. Give my regards to your daughter and of course, Joe. And Fiona, whatever I can do here on my show going forward here, maybe affecting more change in this, you've got my promise. So we'll stay in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Paul. I very appreciate it.
Thank you, Fiona. Anytime. Fiona Farine there again, whose son, Cameron, lost his life to fentanyl. And it's just, I just cannot imagine what a parent goes through. And she and her husband, an old high school friend of mine, and their family has been dealing with this, but they, as many people do when they're hit with tragedy, they channel their efforts. They've had some success already in changing some state laws. And like Fiona said, you know, you've got to even take this further now. As police tell them in this group, a lot of these fentanyl deaths are unsuspected poisonings of, I mean, come on, you're selling somebody marijuana and you're putting fentanyl in it? Or, you know, Klonopin or some sort of antidepressant or Adderall on a college campus. I mean, that you talk about evil. God, you talk about wanting to drop the hammer on somebody who does that. Amen. Whatever I can do to help. The General Assembly's next legislative session gets up and underway later on this month. And one issue that may come up, depending upon the calendar, and it's been a thorny issue for the past couple of legislative sessions, is the sale or direct sale, or that's not happening here in Connecticut, regarding many electric vehicles versus, you know, vis-a-vis Tesla and these other vehicles. There's been a ongoing controversy as to whether direct sales should be allowed, whether there could be showrooms here. And that's the issue that is uniting a group in Fairfield County to, I guess, hold this political fundraiser. And the group in Fairfield County is billing itself as, let's see, this is an electric car advocacy group. In Fairfield County, the Westport Electric Car Club. And they are promoting a fundraiser informational session, not sure what this is, with State Senator Bob Duff of Norwalk and, of course, Will Haskell, Westport State Senator, who's leaving to go to law school. And the way this is being billed is raising a few eyebrows. And it makes some allegations about who voted for this last time around, who didn't, or even if it did come up. And joining us right now to talk about this is Republican State Rep. Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District. And among his committee assignments, he's the ranking member on transportation. Hey, Devin, it's Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing great. It's great to be here today.
Well, thank you, sir. And I was told that you might have a few comments on this, and it's been picked up by Kevin Rennie and a few other people in the state. This is a little, I mean, I've been around this doing this stuff a long time, Devin, and some of the language used in this EV fundraiser thing in Fairfield County is a little strange. How do you view this from afar, and are they making allegations here that aren't true?
I mean, to me, it's pure pay-to-play. This electric vehicle group is mostly very wealthy people who want, you know, to make changes to the law, and they... Bob Duff and Will Haskell essentially told them that, well, we may be able to move some people on our side if you donate to our PAC.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa. That's that's, a, you know, and that's, I guess, Devin, what raised eyebrows here. Like, what does that exactly mean?
Well, you know, last year, I mean, this bill has come up every year since I've been there. And yes, there were issues in the Senate. It wasn't just Republicans opposing the bill. There were also Democrats. And in the House, you actually had, I voted for the bill, and some Fairfield County legislators, Tom O'Day, Laura Devlin, also did. But then you also had Fairfield County legislators like Matt Blumenthal, son of Dick Blumenthal, who voted no. So it really raised my eyebrows, and I was extremely appalled that this group would take it upon themselves at the you know, being led by Bob Duff and Will Haskell to say, well, you got to give money to Democrats. So as a Republican who voted for the bill, how am I supposed to take that? So I'm extremely disappointed in the whole situation. Part of me is inclined to say Mr. Duff has had his enough time in Senate and maybe he should resign over this, because this is everything wrong in politics. A group of wealthy people coming in thinking they can give money to get something changed that is only really going to benefit them. It's not going to benefit most of the average auto consumer who's probably not buying a Tesla or a Rivian, which isn't even out yet. So
yeah.
It's very concerning. And we already have a citizens election program, which Senator Duff and Senator Haskell use, which gives them grants, taxpayer funded grants, to fund their elections. So what do they need all this money from these electric vehicle drivers for?
I don't know.
It's very odd. Concerning.
Yeah, it's really odd. Interesting stuff. Devin, hang on. I'll be right back with you. We're talking to Republican State Rep Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District, representing Old Saybrook, first radio job, Old Saybrook, and Westbrook, about a fundraiser that's being hosted by Will Haskell and Bob Duff. And a couple of pundits in Hartford, our pal Kevin Rennie, said, hey, wait a minute. They're basically saying here, we need some donations and maybe we can move some votes. Listen, everybody knows the political realities of donating to folks in legislative bodies, but is that a little greasy? I don't know. Let's check traffic and weather together, then we return right here on WICC. The ranking Republican on the State General Assembly's Transportation Committee, Rep. Devin Carney, 23rd Congressional, General Assembly District, Old Saybrook, and Westbrook. A little concerned about a story that's been raised around the state, including in Kevin Rennie's Daily Ructions column, a friend of the program, also State Rep. Jason Perillo out of Shelton, wondering what this means. There's an EV club, an electric car club in Fairfield County that in some way is connected, I believe here, if I can figure this all out, to this pre-session update. They say EV freedom in 2022. And State Rep. Perillo has noted something that was said in this quote. We've been asked to support a Democratic State Senate victory fund. Okay, we've seen that before. We've been told that given the direct sales, that direct sales fell one vote short in the Senate last year, this will provide leverage for leadership to move fence sitters into our column. Devin, what does that mean?
I mean, it is the definition of pay to play and political corruption. I mean, this is saying that if you give us money, we can, wink, wink, move a couple people. And I don't even know what the vote. Nobody knows what the vote total in the Senate was because it was never voted on in the Senate.
There are some inaccuracies here. about actual votes, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. As I said earlier, there were Republicans in the committee that voted for it, and I was one of them, and so was Laura Devlin and Tom O'Day from Fairfield County. Democrats voted against it, including Matt Blumenthal, and then there was no vote in the Senate because there weren't enough votes, and that includes Democrats. So I don't know where they're coming up with these numbers, but the fact of the matter is that you could put out a fundraiser that says, give me money, and I will wink, wink, move some of my people. Is everything wrong with politics? I mean, this is like the dark, smoky room everybody thinks of.
No, there's no dark, smoky room here. This is right out in the open,
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and this is a contentious issue, Devin, and I know this. And folks, in case you're wondering, the issue here is having to sell through a regular showroom dealership versus, direct selling of vehicles, and the marketplace is changing. And Devin, do you anticipate this coming up in the short session this year or not again?
I know Senator Haskell wants it. And I got to say, I mean, up until this year, I've been on the committee my whole legislative career. This committee's worked well together. But mm-hmm. Senator Haskell has made a huge tactical error by putting forward this fundraiser because he's lost me. The friendship on this committee's blown up because he decided, well, I'm going to raise money for Democrats only. And We're going to make it a Democrat versus Republican issue, and we're going to, you know, tell these people that we can get you these votes. I mean, this is like, it's ridiculous. I'm just appalled, and I'm so disappointed in him, and I hope at his young age he'll know that this is the type of stuff you shouldn't do.
Is there any chance, Devin, that there was some miscommunication here between people on the committee, between this EV club of Westport? Can this be explained in any way?
I don't think so. I mean, that the Rennie story has been up. Nobody has put out an explanation. Senator Duff hasn't. Senator Haskell hasn't. The EV Club hasn't. It's all there in black and white. Give them money and they will move votes. And that's it. And it's disappointing. I can't say I'm surprised in Senator Duff. I am surprised with Senator Haskell and very disappointed in him. But this is the type of stuff that just shouldn't happen. And this is the type of stuff that, I mean, the legislature put in ethics rules after Governor Roland has had his, after he resigned, to prevent things like this. And we have a program in place where we get state grants for our campaigns. And like I said, Duff and Haskell both take advantage of that. But that's not enough. They try to get more. And it's just, it's so disheartening. And I hope they will cancel the fundraiser and apologize.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on it. State Rep joining us right now here on WICC, Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District, ranking member on the General Assembly's Transportation Committee. Devin, good to hear from you. First time on the show. We appreciate it. So you got my number. And
sure.
Anytime you want to come back in, you are welcome. Thanks, Devin. Appreciate it.
All right.
Appreciate it so much, Paul. There you go. All right, Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District. So, yeah, and that's a little odd to say, hey, we can move, like, donate to us and we can move some votes. Like, now, I know what they're probably going to say. They're going to say, well, we are fundraising for our campaigns, and if we are reelected, perhaps we can... massage some of the opponents to this bill. I mean, again, the bill is a very contentious bill that would allow direct sales of electric vehicles, including Teslas here in the state. And there are some people who think that's a good thing, and some people say, no, you have to have a dealership set up. So that's why I believe if you have a Tesla in the state, you've got to buy it out of state, I believe. But it's just a weird setup where Connecticut's existing law does not allow direct sales of vehicles. And it's been very contentious because the auto dealers in the state don't want to give Tesla what they perceive as an unfair advantage.